Many times when we hear that there's something possible called awakening, enlightenment, liberation, freedom, or whatever you want to call it, what I call it is simply being human at the ultimate level. It sounds great. Oh, I want that. You know, I want that. And we hear that it's some kind of freedom from mental concepts. So we think, oh, I want that, you know. I don't want to have to be belabored by all of these thoughts and emotional states and memories and everything else. I just want to be free of that. So we see it as something that is opposed to something else. Do you see what I'm saying? A state that we will enter that is opposed to something else. Like we live in Paris and we don't want like it there, so we're going to move to Rome. We'll move to Rome and then we'll just forget all about Paris. That troublesome Paris. And then if we're in a setting that offers a direct introduction and the key points and pivotal instructions that can unerringly lead us to what we're looking for, then we find that the authenticity of what aware basic space is that it is inclusive of everything. It's inclusive of everything. Everything within aware basic space is its dynamic energy. So there's nothing to accept or reject. And that can be quite a leap of faith for many of us because we have spent our entire lifetime involved in a world of acceptance and rejection. Accepting this person, rejecting that person, accepting this thought, rejecting that thought, accepting this emotional state, rejecting that emotional state. And when we begin to realize who we are, we realize that all these points of view, whatever they are, that occur within the pure view of the basic space of awareness, all these points of view are equal. And the only way we can realize the full evidence of that space is to rest naturally without describing anything, no matter what kind of point of view comes up. So there's no destination. There's absolutely no destination. And there's no realization either, and there's no freedom to be attained. Aware basic space already is, so you know, what would attain what? There's no context anywhere or frame of reference anywhere for anything called freedom or realization or a destination to get to or anything else. There's only this pristine, immaculate reality of the full evidence of aware basic space as every single point of view. So whatever the dynamic energy of point of view is, that is aware basic space and nothing else. That's all it is. But as long as we have these knee-jerk reactions going on in called point of view, and points of view are thoughts, feelings, sensations, intuitions, people, places, and things. As long as we have these knee-jerk reactions going on within us, say, you know, first of all, we think we're someone. So that's our first point of view. It's called a personal identity. And so we think we are someone, and say we think we're this page, and all these black dots within us are our characteristics that make up our personal identity. And these are our opinions, our thoughts, feelings, sensations, intuitions, all the ways we feel about people, places, and things. all the while, this personal identity, it isn't the page, it's just another point of view. That's all it is. It's just another point of view that's part of the dynamic energy of aware basic space. But once we take up the idea that this one of these points of view is a personal identity and it's somehow the container for all these other points of view, wow, we're, you know, headed to hell. We're just really headed to hell. There's no doubt about it. And that's where we'll spend our entire lives. And we may not even know that it's hell. We'll just experience it as never really feeling comfortable in life, never really feeling comfortable going from one thing to another. So when we live our life based on points of view, we spend our entire life going between one thought, feeling, sensation, experience, action, speaking, etc., all related to point of view. See what a mess that is? That's a real mess. Right? We couldn't find a blackboard. So this is the best I can do. So all these points of view, no matter what they are, not only the ones that we've been personally attached to as being ourselves, but all the points of view that ever were, they're all included within the aware basic space that is the reality of what we are. So the reality of what we are, we've learned, we've adopted from other people the belief that we are all these points of view. And so when we talk about space, we see space as another point of view. Here I am and I'm pointing out at space. And here my awareness is, and it's aware of space and everything else out there. But when we begin to realize who we are just by resting naturally without seeking anything, we realize that we are that aware basic space that we've been pointing to. We are the vast expanse of infinite space, inclusive of all its dynamic energy. So then things look like this. It's a wholly positive basic space in which everything is equal. There's no division of any kind. There are no points of view whatsoever. There are only the wholly positive basic space of awareness and nothing else. So, you know, maybe you came here today because you've been here before and you know it's a good place to be, or you came here because you've heard that it's a good place to be. And you've heard that this thing that's called awakening is something that is really possible here. So, you know, the only way to introduce yourself to the reality of what is offered here is to rest naturally without seeking anything, or to just sit here, keep coming back here, keep turning up, keep showing up. And it will dawn on you who you are. If you have no idea what I'm talking about in terms of a direct introduction to your own awareness, just feel what is present here. Allow the felt sense of what is present here to be the reality of what you are. You're the one who is experiencing that. So your awareness is the root of the experience of that felt sense of awareness, of just a spacious presence, a spacious natural presence. That's the reality of who you are. If you attribute that experience to the circumstance, in other words, being here, that's why it's occurring, then that's just another point of view. But if you can say to yourself, I experience awareness, the awareness of that freedom that I feel when I'm right here, when I'm aware of being naturally present with nothing going on, without describing anything, without seeking anything, then that's the reality of who you are all the time. You know, it isn't circumstance dependent. So it requires that you take responsibility for it. And you take responsibility for it as awareness resting naturally, as awareness that is the root of every single perception. And the more that you rest naturally and just allow the natural state of your being to be totally free in its own place, the more the full evidence of aware basic space is the reality of who you are, and the less any of these points of view is taken to be something. So you don't need to do anything about a personal identity or an I, like purify it, get rid of it, tweak it so that it's a better personal identity. Just rest naturally, and the whole notion of being a personal identity will grow to be synonymous with aware basic space, inclusive of everything. So it's just like the space that's shown here, this space, pure awareness, and I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but within that space of pure awareness, it are all points of view, talking, running around, sitting, studying, working, making love, eating, whatever it is you're doing, but all the while, the underlying basis of whatever is occurring is aware basic space, which is a reality of natural rest, just a reality of natural rest. So now I'm going to describe the distinction between approaches to enlightenment that require effort and achievement that are based on cause and effect, and I'm going to compare it to resting naturally without describing anything. And I'm going to do these in a couple of very specific ways. First of all, if a teaching starts with a someone, that needs to add to it another point of view, like non-clinging, or detachment, all that can result in is calm. So all of those are points of view. A someone who is non-clinging or detached, and then calm because of it. So it all is within the realm of cause and effect. And that can never open up aware basic space. If it could open up aware basic space, there would be millions of people who practice non-clinging and detachment who would be totally free. But when we initiate ourselves in natural rest, we have this someone that we've taken ourselves to be. And instead of doing anything about that someone to change it, we simply rest as the awareness that is the ground of being of that someone. That's all that occurs. And we do that with every point of view that comes up, not only the point of view of being someone. The point of view of being someone in particular is a point of view that we very rarely have. If we just use elementary discernment and we look into this, we can see that this point of view of being someone is a point of view that we very rarely have. So when any point of view comes up and we rest naturally without describing anything, then we realize more and more that all these points of view are equal. They're all equal as aware basic space. And that in order to have the full evidence of that be obvious to us, we must rest naturally without seeking anything when points of view come up. The moment we make a point of view into something, then we're off on a tirade of point of view. But the more we rest, we realize that we only are aware basic space, that aware basic space and all of its points of view, the dynamic energy of its points of view, are inseparable, like the color blue is inseparable from the sky, like the color of an emerald is inseparable from the emerald, and that all of this dynamic energy of point of view, no matter what it is naturally occurring. It's naturally present as aware basic space. And just as the sky is totally unaffected by anything that goes on within it, clouds, volcanoes erupting, nuclear blasts going off, whatever it is, so too our aware basic space is unaffected by any of the dynamic energy that occurs within it. So all the dynamic energy of point of view, no matter what it is, it's like a mirage. All of its elements are equal in that they have never existed as anything other than awareness. It's awareness that is the root of all the elements in a mirage. It is awareness that is the root of all points of view, no matter what they are. So when we rest as that awareness without seeking anything, more and more we have all-knowingness. We have an understanding of everything in particular and everything in general. And we arrive at this without doing anything. All we do is rest in the reality of our true nature as aware basic space becomes more and more obvious. So there's nothing to do and no one to do it. That's the good news. The natural state of rest, the natural state of aware basic space is the reality of our being. All of these points of view, no matter what they are like a sound and an echo. You know, no matter where we tried to find that sound and an echo, we'd never be able to find it. It's vividly apparent, yet its only origin or root or nature is awareness. Other than that, there's nothing substantive in any point of view. No matter what the point of view is, it's like a mirage. It's like a dream image. It's just, if we have a dream at night, what is aware of dreaming? Awareness. In dreams, we hear things, we see things, we say things, we touch things and have the sensation of touch. We smell things. But, you know, are there dream noses and dream ears and dream eyes hearing all these things? No, it's awareness, awareness, awareness. Awareness is the root of everything. Awareness is the root of all perceptions in the dream, whether it's the waking dream, the dreaming dream, or the sleeping dream. No matter what the point of view is, it's a mirage and nothing else. So if we can't understand any of this through intellectual speculation. We can't understand any of this through adopting extremes like fixations on no self or no thought or non-duality or a non-conceptual state or bliss or clarity. The moment we try to make awakening into something, then we've adopted an extreme. We've adopted a context. We've adopted a frame of reference. We've adopted a point of view for that which has no context, that which has no frame of reference, that which has no point of view. So all we can do is rest naturally in a totally uncontrived way. Rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes obvious. If we involve ourselves in doing anything to be who we are, like sitting and watching our breath, and we're sitting and watching our thoughts and our feelings, see, we've just created more points of view. We have a witness or an observer who's observing the breath and all the points of view. And so, you know, we can go on for like that forever, but unless we rest naturally as each of those perceptions arises, the breath, and then resting naturally as the awareness that is the root of that breath, the thought that comes up, resting naturally as awareness that is the root of that thought, an emotional state comes up. Resting naturally is the awareness that is the root of that emotional state, no matter what the emotional state is, and no matter what we've described the point of view to be, positive, negative, or neutral. When it comes up, rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times, and it will become more and more obvious. And if you don't want to rest naturally, then don't. Just keep coming here. And the reality of your being will just become more and more obvious. It'll be impossible to deny. Because, you know, there are a number of people who have come here, they really don't want to rest. They're just sick and tired of doing anything. Right, Adrian? Nettie, would you like to share your experience of the Great Freedom Teaching?
Yeah, for me it's now, I'm actually resting a lot, I feel. And even, I still have a lot of negative points of view that come up, but it's still, I feel so much at ease with them. Even if they come up, I cannot convince myself somehow that they're true anymore. Even if I try, 2 days ago I tried very hard to convince me that they're true, but I didn't believe it anymore. And at this point I want to say it's very important for me to talk to someone. I talk to my sister and Jochen very much about it, and then I can feel how it's very good. I just wanted to say that if someone needs to talk to someone, it's very good to do that. For me it was very, my biggest point of view actually is talking in front of people, and I can now see it's not a big problem anymore. I'm not quite enjoying it, but I think it's okay. And I'm not afraid of it anymore. I was very good at not talking in front of people. I could get around very easily. Now, it's nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maddie. Thank you.
Hello. I didn't actually expect to be up here today, but the one thing that happened last week that was really, or one of many things that was really interesting, was I think most of you were here actually when I brought a friend along, and she ended up in a confrontational thing with Candice. I think I could speak for most of the group in this one, that basically, there was a conflict, I can't remember what it was about actually now, but basically there was a confrontation. It was more, she had an issue that she couldn't resolve, but she wasn't really listening to Candice and what she was saying. But whereas before I would normally be embarrassed by just someone I knew I'd brought along, and she was creating this bigger issue, and it was going on and on and on. For the first time, I actually felt compassion. First of all, for her, then for Candice, and then on a real subtle level, for the group as a whole. It was something that really sort of all together. Very subtly, but it was the first time I really felt that. And I spoke to Heather a few days before, sort of, everybody seems to be getting this and comparing again, getting this, that and the other, especially compassion. And I was thinking, well, I'm not feeling any compassion because everyone else is doing brilliantly. And then, for the first time, suddenly up came this compassion. It was like, ah, okay. is more like it. And I, as I said before, I'd be just more, I'd be embarrassed, like, oh no, no, please don't, I hope Candice doesn't find out it's me that's brought her. that was really good. That was a big change in me. So, there you go.
Thank you, Tess. When the full evidence of who we are is becoming obvious to us, this warmth of compassion that is actually physical, it's physical, it permeates the whole body. Aware basic space is the whole body. And the true nature of aware basic space is imbued with compassion and wisdom. So this compassion and wisdom are inherent. They don't need to be developed or cultivated. And when we rest naturally, the warmth of wisdom and compassion naturally arise, and we realize that they're naturally occurring. So this isn't the kind of compassion where we wake up in the morning and we say, I'm going to be compassionate today, come hell or high water. You know, no matter what I face today, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to develop loving kindness and really work on that. Through natural rest, we find that the sublime qualities and the activities that emanate from them are already present. They're already naturally occurring. And it's a realization in and of itself, like you said, to have that warmth of compassion arise. It's glorious. It's really glorious. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Questions, comments, songs, dances, poems? Once someone did a headstand. And a cartwheel. We had a cartwheel. Mm-hmm, Renato.
Actually, only one question, which is kind of, concerns myself. Resting naturally, I mean, I fully understand the consequences of resting naturally, but sometimes, for me, I don't seem to be able to rest naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So I can maybe talk about my experience this morning when I kind of woke up, I woke up and I kind of, within a split second, the radio was on. So there were many thoughts, a mash, like a jungle of thoughts, which were, the whole awareness, so to say, was absorbed in them, and there was no way out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no possibility at that moment, that's how it seemed to be resting naturally. So what can you say to them?
What I can say is that you've lived for decades, and during those decades adopted many points of view as being a frame of reference for who you are. And so now you're realizing that through resting naturally, that you'll find that this aware basic space is the essence of all points of view. But in the meantime, this dynamic energy that has been responsive as point of view rather than as the basic space of awareness is just stirring and proliferating. And all or a lot of your awareness has been absorbed in that. Now, for many people, when they wake up in the morning, when we're asleep at night, all we are is aware basic space. We might have a few dreams here and there. But then when we wake up in the morning, all of a sudden, there we are. There we are with all our points of view. We're not only are we a somebody, which we completely forgot about during the night, but we're all these points of view that we've accumulated and characterized to be ourselves. So it can be a little harsh in the morning when all this starts stirring. But you know, if we, when we go to bed at night, we just lie down and we're very aware of what occurs, that all, we're gathering all of our points of view back into ourself that we've had. And this is a very preliminary sort of way of learning to be more familiar with natural rest, to really realize the dynamics of what's occurring. Realize that you lie down at night in your bed and you gather all your points of view into yourself and you drift off into sleep. And if you're very aware during that process, you'll realize that first all these points of view fall into a non-conceptual state. Well, a non-conceptual state is still a point of view too, because there's awareness of a non-conceptual state. So when you realize that you're aware of a non-conceptual state, I cannot overemphasize the importance of that. It is a very, very powerful realization. Because when you realize that you're aware of that non-conceptual state in which all those points of view have resolved, it's very pivotal. It's very, very pivotal. And then, you know, you go into sleep. Well, if you are very aware when you're falling asleep, more and more you will have a luminous quality during your sleep, a luminous quality of awareness during your sleep. So then when you wake up in the morning, just realize that all these points of view are within that awareness that was aware of the non-conceptual state, the awareness of all the points of view, the awareness of the point of view of sleep, the awareness of the point of view of a dream. We rest all the while, 24/7. So that's specific to your circumstance of waking up in the morning. Now, all of these things, we can try exercises forever. We can try to rest naturally on our own forever. But unless we have the support of a teacher, a written teaching, a community along with that natural rest, it's very unlikely we will ever realize the full evidence of who we are. Maybe one in a billion people would realize. Maybe one in a billion. At the most, on their own. But you know, when the support of a community is available, that's really what we need to rely on, and we need to rely on a teaching. So in the Great Freedom Teaching, we have the four comforts: the teacher, the teaching, the community, and natural rest. In the teaching, we have three series of teachings. The first one is the 12 Inquiries teaching, which also has a one-day introduction to the Great Freedom teaching as part of it. And the 12 Inquiries teaching, it removes the fog of vagueness of being so wrapped up in all these points of view for so many decades. It cuts through the seeming solidity of all these points of view. One inquiry after another just completely dissolves the absorption in believing that we're points of view. It's just the way it is. So, you know, a lot of people, they don't really want to do the inquiries, or they start the inquiries and they don't really like being there. It's long days and it's kind of a drag, and why do I have to do all this stuff? But no one ever leaves feeling that way. Just more and more with each inquiry, there is such a relaxation that comes about. So, you know, in the Great Freedom Teaching, we do everything in groups. There are no dyads. So, you know, teachers don't meet with individual participants, teachers don't date participants, teachers don't have sexual relationships with participants. Everything is done in a group. Everything is done in a group. And when everything occurs within the group, this process of the 12 inquiries teaching, we all wake up together. And we all wake up together because as we look into our own points of view and hear other people share how they've been focused on belief and point of view, we realize more and more that we're all alike. Not only do we have some kind of head trip about everything being indivisible or non-dual, we really realize it. It's absolutely clear. It's absolutely clear through this incredible group process that no one has ever been divided out from anyone else. So, it's very powerful. Would you like to share, Kat? You haven't been up here before, and Kat is involved in the 12 inquiries right now. We'll be involved in inquiry 7 today, participating with the group on inquiry 7. And when you share, if you could just share what it was like for you before you came to the 12 inquiries, what happened so far, and what it's like for you now.
Okay. I listen to people who come up here, and I'm in no way good at resting naturally. That's something I find very hard to do. I completely understand what you were talking about. But two extraordinary things have happened to me. And I'll start with the second one first. I come from a family who very much loved sort of books and knowledge and talking about ideas, and you know, our dinner tables were always full of lots of engagement, lots of books, lots of curiosity about the world. I remember when I was 8, I was given an encyclopedia, sort of science encyclopedia, and I was just so excited to find out about all this space, how actually everything was space. And spent a great deal of time. I was bedridden quite a lot until I was about 5. I'm literally trying to push my hand through the wall next to me in the bed because I'd read about how there was so much space. And I've just read so many books. I just so badly wanted to understand the world, understand the universe. That was how I was approaching everything, understanding people, you know, asking people questions about themselves, just wanting to understand. I wasn't quite sure what. And a very sort of intellectual, therefore, approach to things. And I realized last night that it was kind of an innocent arrogance, actually, assuming that I could understand everything and then I'd be happy. And growing up in South Africa and working in places like Mozambique and Rwanda, I have witnessed at first hand a lot of terrible people doing terrible things to each other. And when Candace speaks about integrating, that we're all, every single part of the world is part of awareness, I had huge resistance to people who do those kinds of things. I mean, if you've ever seen the eyes of someone who's about to go on a killing rampage or who just has, you find it very hard. I just didn't understand how people could do those things. Not that I didn't recognize that I wasn't capable of it, but I just felt that I needed to understand that before I could incorporate it or integrate it. And Candace said something to me yesterday, which is just, give up the need to understand. It's so simple. Give up the need to understand. I mean, that's also a point of view. And it was like this massive backpack just kind of slipped off my shoulders. So, That's the first thing, although it happened second. The thing that happened first was this group idea. You know, it's easy to understand the theory of these things. You know, we're all aware of da-da-da. But when you're in a group and you're going through these inquiries and you're listening to people's direct experience, people talking about their childhoods, whatever it was, I felt so much compassion and empathy and just so much for some of the things that I heard people had been through. And anyone in this room who would have heard some of the things people were saying would have felt the same thing, wherever you are on your non-path of realization. But this thing happened in my head, which had nothing to do with my intellect, which was I suddenly realized that I felt extraordinary. I was quite capable of feeling extraordinary compassion for somebody else. But it had never occurred to me to feel it for myself. You know, I've had a lot of physical problems, and I'm always fine. I'm a person who's always fine. I always fix things because I understand everything. Again, innocent arrogance. And realizing that it was possible, if it was possible to feel compassion for someone else, and realizing that we're all connected, so if you can feel compassion for someone else, of course you can feel it for yourself. And that just effortlessly arising, that was just an extraordinary thing. I mean, that was a physical experience of not shutting it down and thinking, oh, pull yourself together, this is self-pity. It wasn't that at all. If it's all connected, you can feel it for someone else, you can feel it for yourself too, and then you can feel it for anyone. And there wasn't an ounce of understanding going on in all of that. I mean, yes, my mind was the facilitator of that somehow seeping down to my heart, but it wasn't something that I had to overcome to get to my heart. It wasn't a barrier I had to push through. It just effortlessly seeped through. And so, yeah, that experience coupled with this extraordinarily simple advice to give up the need to understand has made me feel very happy, which I know is a point of view, but it's great. Thank you. Thank you to my group as well.
Inherent happiness is permanent.
Yes.
It's not like the other kind of happiness where... So happiness, there's nothing wrong with being happy. Do you have some questions other than the one you asked? Yeah. These... wonderful, decisive experiences of the reality of aware basic space that are beyond cause and effect. In other words, they're inherent, they're naturally present, they're already occurring. They aren't something that we gather into ourselves. This is what Justin and Kat were referring to, that we can know we're really waking up, so to speak, when this warmth of compassion arises, a warmth of compassion that more and more fills all of our thoughts, all of our speaking, and all of our actions. That's how we know we're really aware. We're really aware that aware basic space is the reality of our situation 24/7. It becomes less and less possible to speak and think and act in the way that we think and speak and act based on point of view. Remember that mess on the page? Well, when we're absorbed in points of view, then all of our thinking, it's sort of like the mess on that page, or and our emotional states and our activities and qualities, and they're all focused on us, you know, I, me, and mine. My thoughts, my opinions, my actions, what I think of this one, what I think of that one, and accepting this one, rejecting that one, and on and on and on. And when we simply rest naturally as the very essence of our genuine being, then more and more this pervasive bliss of the warmth of compassion fills everything. And it just, we don't have to try not to gossip. It just doesn't happen anymore, you know. It just doesn't happen. Not, maybe it might not happen in our speaking first, and then it doesn't happen in our thinking anymore. So you see, this is the evidence. These are signs of accomplishment. And they begin with this pervasive sense of compassion for the totality, compassion as the totality.
One thing that I'm noticing is occurring for me is...
Would you like to come up, Carrie? Please come up. Oh, that's good too. That's good too. Carrie's involved in this inquiries group too as a participant.
Hi. So, a little bit about my experience. I've been practicing Vipassana meditation and yoga for 7 years, and I've had some profound experiences. Many of which were on my own within the construct of a different setting. And one of the tough challenges, but beautiful challenges of going through the inquiries is having had some experiences that resonate with my own awareness, trying to go back to that. And the opening and the shift that I had yesterday was the realization that that is this, that there's no seeking to be done, that I already am this all the time. And that absolute release and just sort of resting right into that space of just being confident that it's it has been really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I notice as I'm doing it is I'll have moments where Well, and one other thing that I've experienced is while this was sort of occurring, there was a sort of a spaciness that I was feeling. And in the last sort of day, the spaciness is sort of solidifying itself in a way that feels not solid, and it feels very natural for me to be in that. And so I can be myself. So I've gone from sort of like this spaciness feeling to sort of like that being more real for me than my other way of being in point of view.
Oh, the spaciousness.
Yeah, like it feels more comfortable, it feels more real, whereas before it felt like kind of a dreamy state. Now it's feeling like that state is actually the reality state and the other state is feeling contrived. And one thing that I've noticed, this is what I was going to say, is I'll sort of hear things coming out of my mouth that are from habitual point of view, and it's like I'm watching a television of myself, like saying something that I may have always said, or has been part of a point of view that's been always said. And I'll sort of like want to stop myself because I'll have this total recognition of that being said from the place that is not me. Or is me, but is not, but is point of view speaking through me, kind of feeling. And then I just rest. But that was what I wanted to say.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say that the negative, the integration of the negative points of view for me has been really profound, because for me those are the things that I get lost in, you know, lost in anger, lost in fear, lost in doubt, and just sort of getting fixated, and then it's sort of taking over my ability to rest naturally in awareness. So it's kind of funny how those are losing their ability to sort of light me up and take me over.
It just happens so effortlessly, you know, that, well, we already are who we are, so it just becomes more and more blazingly obvious. Thank you, Gary. When we really begin to realize who we are outside the loop of constantly efforting to do something to be awake, it really turns everything upside down. All the while we've been taking ourselves to be someone here, pointing at space, and then suddenly we realize we're space. We're pure space. We're the pure space in which everything occurs. And everything that occurs within that is also pure space. As it only is the dynamic energy of that aware basic space, it too is pure space. Its essence is pure space. It may have a vivid appearance of solidity, but its nature is only awareness. Its nature only is aware basic space. There's nothing, no matter whatsoever, no matter whatever, that has any independent origin or nature of its own that creates it as a substantive entity that will last forever. Only aware basic space has those non-characteristics of being unmade, uncreated, unchanging, unwavering, of being forever. Even something like the sun that seems so permanent, it only has a lifespan of 20 million years or something like that. Even the sun will go. All points of view within the vast space of our own awareness, inseparable from that awareness. And when we simply rest naturally as that awareness, then we understand everything I'm talking about. Writing about and sharing. When we rest naturally, I was speaking about the warmth and bliss of compassion, we also feel more and more grateful, just more and more naturally grateful, not trying to be grateful, like, oh, I've got to have my attitude of gratitude today. But just gratitude that is pervasive of the basic space of awareness. The gratitude of naturally being. Are there any other questions? Do you have any questions? We'll sit quietly for a moment.